Good morning. Welcome to worship here at St. Mark's on this glorious day. I'm so glad you could join us today. Today we're going to be reflecting once again on Jesus visiting disciples after the resurrection. This time it's Luke's account. Last week was John's. But I might just stand as we begin our service, remembering whose we are as we always do, beginning in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen, we pray. O Lord, I thank you that you have called us to be your own, that we enjoy all the wonders that come with being your children, that you enliven us with your Spirit and that you guide us. You sanctify us and keep us in the truth. And Lord, I pray that each day we would live in accordance with your word. All these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with confessing our sins to God our Father. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake forgive all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have made, I will rejoice and be glad in it.
Please be seated. Okay, I'm on now. We're going to pause before our second song because we have the wonderful joy of many baptisms today. So I'm going to invite everybody who's getting baptized to come on forward, as well as the sponsors to come on forward. Wonderful. So, dear friends, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And the Apostle Peter has written, "Baptism now saves you." So receive the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart. Sponsors. From ancient times, the church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors for baptismal candidates and catechumens. And so the role of sponsors is mostly to encourage and pray. So pray for those people that you are sponsoring. Pray, first and foremost, that they would never lose their faith. Pray that they would follow where God is leading them. Pray for their protection and wisdom. And also the encouragement piece is, as you have opportunity to encourage them in their faith, do so. Rejoice as they go forth. Rejoice as they grow in their faith and encourage faith conversation between them and you. So, I have a question for you sponsors then, and I'll tell you what you should say if you feel like it's the right thing. So, to the best of your ability, do you promise to fulfill this role as sponsor, to pray and encourage? If so, say yes with the help of God. Fantastic. All right. May God enable you to do this faithful and loving work. Amen. All right. So as they are now joining us in our congregation, together we are going to confess the Apostles' Creed, but we're going to pause between each petition. I'm going to ask the question, do you believe? And when I'm done, you're going to say, yes, I believe. Even if the prompt up there doesn't say, yes, I believe, start every time with, yes, I believe. There's a little bit of confusion there on my part. But and then we're going to say the Apostles' Creed as an affirmation, because the Apostles' Creed actually was an early baptismal creed. It was something that when people were to be baptized, you'd ask them, is this what you affirm? You know, this is, in its basic tenets, the Christian faith. And do you affirm this? And so we're going to say this together because we are community, the body of Christ together. So I'm asking you, but I'm also asking you guys to join in. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty? Say, yes, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. All right. And then, do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord? Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Yes, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. All right, so I'm going to have you one at a time, as we discussed, come over to be baptized. Kalina Maria Kohlfeld, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Parker Allen Brown, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sophia Maria Kohlfeld, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Elias. I baptize you. Elias Alan Kohlfeld, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amelia Elizabeth Kohlfeld, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Barrett Richard Kohlfeld, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, has forgiven you all your sins. Strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. See if these light now that they're wet. That'll be exciting. Never had one sizzle before. That's very exciting. I don't know if this is going to work. Well, I got there eventually. Receive this burning light to show that you have received Christ, who is the light of the world. Live always in the light of Christ and be ever watchful for his coming, that you may meet him with joy and enter with him into the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which shall have no end. Not that you are required to do this, but something you could do is on this day every year, you could light your candle remembering your baptismal birthday, kind of like how you light candles to celebrate your day that you were born physically into this world. Remember the day that you were baptized into Christ. In holy baptism, God the Father has made you members of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and heirs with us of all the treasures of heaven and the one holy Christian and apostolic church. We receive you in Jesus' name as our brothers and sisters in Christ, that together we might hear his word, receive his gifts, and proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Amen. And we pray, Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you have graciously preserved and enlarged your family and have granted all of these your children the new birth and holy baptism that has made them members of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and heirs of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that you would keep them in their baptismal grace, that according to your good pleasure they may faithfully grow to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name, and finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us welcome our brothers and sisters in Christ. You can blow out your candles and then you may be seated. All right, well, as they are going back to their seats, I invite the praise team to come back up to sing our second song.
Who tells the sun to rise every morning, colors the sky with the shades of its glory, wakes us with mercy and love, Jesus does. Who holds the orphan, comforts the widow,
Steve Mangrum, one of your elders. I have the privilege of reading the first reading today, Acts 3, verses 11 through 21. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of our fathers has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned a holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By the faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that this Messiah would suffer. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything as he has promised long ago through his holy prophets. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Good morning. The sermon scripture reading for today is Luke chapter 4, verses 36 to 49. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that was written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." This is God's word for us today. Children, it is now time for the children's message. So if you guys would come forward at this time, Mrs. Armbruster has the message for you today.
Yes, indeed, she does. Good morning. How are all my friends this morning? Congratulations on your baptism. That was awesome. Do you guys like to pretend a little bit sometimes? I need you to pretend with me. Okay, I'm going to have a pretend family for just a minute. So I'm going to have Gavin, will you come up here, please? You're my son. And Chelsea, can you come up here? You be my little daughter. And then, of course, we have little baby Sophie. So, how are you guys doing?
Good.
All right, now you kind of stand this way just a little bit, and I want you guys that are watching, I want you to see if you see any problems. Yes, good girl. Have any problems with what I say, okay? Hi, kids. Did you enjoy dinner?
Yes.
Well, I have some news for you. Dad and I are going to be able to go on a trip. And we love you all very, very much. And we trust you. So we're going to let you take care of yourselves while we're gone. Okay? So I just have this little list here of a couple things that maybe you'll want to do. Let's see. You're going to have dinner at 5, pizza, warm it up in the oven, and then give little Sophie her bottle. Don't get it too hot, don't get it too cold, just right. And don't forget to burp her when you're done. And then you're going to need to put the dishes in the dishwasher. Run it on the quick cycle, okay, because it doesn't use that much water. Oh, and don't forget to take your medicine for your allergies. And then will you please feed the dog when you're done with that? And then you'll need to walk the dog because you don't want to run the house all night with that. And then let's see, bedtime stories. I guess maybe you read one to Chelsea and Chelsea, you read one to Gavin. That work? Okay. And then I want you in bed by 7:30. Now, tomorrow morning for, don't cry, baby. Tomorrow morning for breakfast, you can have cereal if you want or some toaster pastries, whatever. Let's see. Don't forget to change the baby. When the baby wakes up during the night, one of you is going to have to get up and change the baby and work with. Okay. He just pointed to her. So the only other things are make sure you do the laundry, put in the washer and then the dryer, make the beds, let the dog out in the morning, change the baby again, bottle, burp, put the laundry in the dryer, fold it, And then I guess if you have time, maybe cut the lawn. Okay. Are you all right with that? You all good? Grandma and Grandpa? No, you don't need Grandma and Grandpa. You'll be fine.
A babysitter?
You don't need a babysitter. Here, have a good time. We'll see you later. Well, there you go. So, I'm going to come sit back down. We're going to talk for just a second. How do you guys think I did?
Bad.
There's perhaps a reason I never had children. But this has to do with our Bible story, and I want you to think about this for a minute. Did I leave those kids with too big of a job to do all by themselves?
Yeah.
I did. And Gavin asked me, could he have some help? Could he have grandma and grandpa or babysitter? And I said, nah, just do it on your own. They just read in the Bible that Jesus died on the cross. He rose again. And then he went and visited the disciples. Do you think they were a little kind of weirded out with everything that had happened? And then he told them, you got a job. Here's your job. Tell the entire world everything that happened. Was that a huge job? And did he just walk away and say, all right, you guys, go do it. You're fine. You're good. You don't need any help.
No.
He knew that that was too big a job for them. Do you know who he left with them or who he gave them to help him, them?
God.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. Because God knew that was a really huge job to tell the whole world about what Jesus did for them. The whole world. Is that our job too?
Yes.
Anybody know how many people are in the world? About 8 billion. Good job. How many of those 8 billion people does God love?
All of them.
How many of those 8 billion people need to hear about Jesus?
All of them.
Do you know how many people live in America?
5.
You got that one too? 300 million-ish. 300 million. In the United States of America, how many of those people does God love? How many of those people need to hear about Jesus? How many people live in Eureka? 200 million? Not quite.
200?
It's about 12,000-ish. How many of those people does God love? How many of those people need to hear about Jesus? And whose job is it?
Ours.
It's our job, isn't it? And do we have to do it alone?
No.
Does God just leave us like that terrible mother to do everything with no help?
No,
he gives us the Holy Spirit. So, we got a big job. We're all going to do it together. And we've got very powerful help to get it done. Amazing. Yeah, I like your attitude. You're going to get it done, aren't you? All right. Fold your hands. Repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit so that the big job we have to do can be done with your power. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Every once in a while in life, you might have a moment where time stops. You're just so overwhelmed by the joy of what you are witnessing that you just can't even think straight. It's so wonderful. I've seen moments of this in video. The first one that came to my mind is, of course, a child who didn't know that their dad was coming back from the war, but is there to pick them up from school, and the child is just shaking with excitement. It's so wonderful. Or perhaps another child who was born deaf and yet was able to get a cochlear implant and now is hearing their mother's voice for the first time. I've had first recollection, one moment that came to my mind was, of course, my wedding day as I watched my bride come down the aisle. And time just stops for a second. It's so wonderful. You don't even know what to think. And as I read our text for today, that's kind of the first thought that I have. As the disciples are there, see, Jesus had risen from the dead, and they had heard some rumors about this, but they themselves hadn't seen Jesus. And actually, just before our text for today, Jesus visited two other disciples on the road to Emmaus. And once they realized who Jesus was, Jesus disappeared from before them, and they ran. I want to say 7 miles. Yeah, there it is. 7 miles all the way to Jerusalem. They had to tell this good news to the disciples who they knew were hiding for fear of the Jews. The disciples are distraught, dismayed, hiding away. As they, the disciples and those who had sprinted 7 miles from Emmaus, as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." And again, last week, Pastor Bob talked about that peace, that shalom, that declaring the reality that now Jesus had won for the disciples. But understandably, they're startled and a bit frightened. They thought they saw a spirit. Again, they're grasping for what rationally makes the most sense for what is being presented before them. And so he says, "Well, why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me. See. For spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while still disbelieved, but the joy of it all and the marveling, they still couldn't let themselves see the reality before them. It was too wonderful of a thing to imagine, to hope for, to have it right there. So Jesus says, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And unlike the movie Casper, it didn't go right through him and drop out the bottom. No, it stayed inside. And then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms," that is, so what we call the Old Testament, the Jews have their scriptures. And the first 5 books are believed to have been written by Moses. And that is the law of Moses, not just the 10 commandments, but all of the first 5 books are the law of Moses. And then they order their scriptures a little bit differently than we order our Old Testament. And the next section out of 3 is the prophets. And then lastly is the writings, which begins with the book of Psalms. And so Jesus is saying, "Did you not?" Sorry, I lost my place. "I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." In other words, the entire scriptures all point to this man, Jesus, the Son of God. And he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the 3rd day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And then Luke's gospel ends with Jesus ascending. And then Luke's other work, Acts, begins with Jesus ascending. There's a little bit of a dialogue. And the disciples are like, Jesus, is now the time when you're going to establish your kingdom? Or more specifically, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Despite everything that they had witnessed with him along the way and Jesus' death, resurrection, opening up the scriptures to have them understand how it is that what he has done is of greater significance even than his own resurrection, because he has reconciled people to God with his death. And he was raised from the dead, affirming everything that he said to be true. And as well, we, as was talked about last week, have the hope of the resurrection for ourselves, because just as Christ was raised from the dead, so too shall we raise from the dead. And yet here, even the disciples, again, are saying, okay, Jesus, are you going to do what you really came to do, right? You came to reestablish the kingdom to Israel, right? To kick out these Romans. And he says, it's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, they were looking on, and he was lifted up, and a cloud took him from their sight. And so they did. They waited in Jerusalem until the promise that had been given them had been fulfilled. They received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, many came to know the truth about Jesus. And they believed. And they were baptized. But it doesn't end there. No, the disciples continued to follow Jesus' command to go and make disciples of all nations. And so Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold. What I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gates of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And all of this is a setup for Peter's opportunity to proclaim the truth to those that needed to hear it. While he that is the man who had been lame clung to Peter and John, all the people utterly astounded ran together to them at the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that this is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all." So Jesus rose from the dead. He instructed his followers to know all that Scripture said concerning what had just taken place. He gave them the Holy Spirit, and they went out and proclaimed to people the good news concerning Jesus of Nazareth. They healed someone in the name of Jesus. When I teach the commandments, I like to cover what we number as the second commandment. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. An illustration that I like to use is something that I feel like is not as common today. But you used to have it perhaps in a day, I'm not a historian, but of kings. A herald or someone who has gone to represent the king comes to the entrance of a castle or a town and says, "I come in the name of the king." What does this mean? It means that that person is a representative of the king. And as long as what that person says or does is reflective of the king's will, they're honoring the name that they are claiming to bear. But if they say, "I come in the name of the king," and then they do all sorts of things that the king would not authorize or desire, they're misusing the name. And so with a name is authority. So by Jesus' authority, because as Peter said, "I don't have the authority myself to heal this man, but by the authority of one who has the authority, who has authorized me to do this, in his name be healed." And he was. And yet, even as marvelous and wonderful as this man who was lame now getting up and walking was for him, that wasn't the biggest thing that happened for him that day. No, the more crucial thing for that man was to hear the testimony of who Jesus is. To know that Jesus is the one who is promised, that Jesus is the one who has brought true and eternal life. Not just for that man, but for all people who will hear the message, receive it with faith, and be a part of the body of Christ. And as I was reflecting upon these texts for today, I was realizing that it can be very tempting for myself, or very tempting, I assume, for other individuals to look at these and say, "Wow, those are wonderful stories of what God did through other people." Isn't it great that Jesus opened up the scriptures to his disciples? And isn't it great that his disciples were given the authority to heal people? Man, if we had the authority to just heal people, surely everyone would listen to our message today. Man, why does it have to be so hard to share the message today? Maybe you've never thought that way. But we've been called to follow Jesus, just as those who walked among him have been called to follow him. And as was mentioned in the children's message today, we are not left simply by our own power and devices. But we have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. So my encouragement for today, looking at our texts, is consider what Jesus did for his disciples, first and foremost. And we who follow Jesus should do likewise. We should diligently look at the scriptures, trusting God to guide us, because it's crucial, because it matters, because it's important. Look to what it is that God has given testimony concerning himself that he desires us to know as revealed in his word. But also don't fall into the trap of saying, "Well, because I can't heal somebody, I can't share the good news." If you look at the basics of what's happening, there's a need of someone being addressed. And Peter and John believe that they can address that need by the work of God in them. Can we not do the same? Can we not look out at the people of Eureka or the people of St. Louis or all the world, whoever we might come across, and recognize there are needs that people have? Needs that God can satisfy through us. And maybe, just maybe, by helping someone who is in need, it provides us the opportunity to then share the more important thing. You see, we are blessed by God so that we can go forth and help those who have physical needs, genuine physical needs. And yet by offering help in that way, we then have an opportunity to share the best news that we can about the one who came, God who took on flesh and dwelt among his creation, not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. For he died, taking the punishment of our sin upon himself, so that God would not hold us accountable at the end of the age, but that we might enjoy the promise of eternal life that we do not deserve. These are my words of how I might say it. My encouragement to you is, consider the truth as you know it. How would you say it? If you were to tell the good news about what it is that Jesus has done for you, how would you tell somebody else if they were receptive to hearing? My encouragement to you is, if you don't know that answer, think about that today, this week, this month. Ponder it. Reflect upon it. Pray about it. And know it. And the other thing that's beautiful is, I know, at least for my life, I can bear testimony to the times where I say, yes, here is where I say God has been active in my life. Times of struggle and difficulty, where looking back, I can say, I see how God had not abandoned me. Did not leave me on my own in the midst of the pain that I was experiencing. Or the times in my life of joy where I felt like God was guiding me and I followed and it was amazing. Have you experienced such things in your life? My hope is the answer is yes. And if so, then my encouragement is that too is an opportunity for you to proclaim the truth about what God has done for you. As tempting as it can be sometimes to read about the disciples and what they have done and say, man, that's cool, but I will never do that. Look to God. Look to his word. And look where he is guiding you and how it is that he has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, that you might proclaim the goodness of him who has done these things for you. That those who are walking in darkness might also know of the light of God. Amen.
You are not a god.
Stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come into your presence today. We just thank you so much for meeting us here, Lord, for bringing us here, for giving us faith, for delivering to us the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation that we so desperately need, and then walking through this life with us, Lord, giving us strength along the way so that we don't walk alone. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with each and every one of our members, Lord. Especially we pray for Don McLaughlin and Janet Beasley, who are struggling with pneumonia. Lord, we pray for Jim Moss and Wayne Sprick, who are just, Lord, just continuing to recover. We thank you for bringing Wayne back to us today. Lord, we pray that you'd be with Paul Zeeble as he's still in getting care and still recovering. Lord, we pray for the Wynn family at the death of Kevin Wynn's mother. Lord, we pray for the Barnes family at the, Braden Barnes is one of our students, Lord, at the death of his grandfather, Richard. Lord, I pray that you'd be with their families as well. And Diane Lewis at the death of her husband, David. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be the strength of your people, Lord, as they go through these difficult times, that they know that they don't have to do this alone, Lord, but you walk with them and that you give them that peace that surpasses understanding. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all those, Lord, all that, the family, Lord, that was baptized today, Lord, with Kalina Parker, Sophia, Elias, Amelia, and Barrett. Lord, I pray that you would be with each and every one of them, Lord. Just continue to grow the faith that you have begun so that they can have a lifelong growing relationship with you, Lord, and that they can have your presence with them at all times. And Lord, finally, we pray that you would continue to be with St. Mark's as we continue our search for a principal. I pray that you would continue to bless that process, Lord, as it comes to a close. Thank you, Lord, for loving us all so very much. And we pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
To make
We come to this house because our God is amazing. We come to this house because we need him, and he has good news for us. We come because we are full of sin, and he brings us forgiveness. We come because we are weak, and he is strong, and at this meal, all of that comes together, where we receive the forgiveness of sins that Jesus earned for us on the cross, that he gives us strength, encourages and grows our faith, and gives us the strength to go out and to live a life that brings glory to his name, a life of worship and praise to the God who has done so much for us. And so, as our God is faithful, as he does what he promises, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Please stand as we sing the sending song together.
The world, you have shined the sun, King of all.
Couple of announcements. Please be seated real quick. Let's see here. First of all, new Bible study begins today for high schoolers and adults here in this church. Pastor Josh is going to be leading. Let's see here. There's the women of the Congregation St. Mark's like to do prayer partners occasionally, which is a really wonderful thing. I mean, what if we just organize ourselves and pray for each other? Seems like a good plan. Men, what are we thinking? Anyway, but the thing is that that's going to be coming up real soon here. Deadline is Tuesday to get signed up for that. Is there sign up in the back someplace? How are they signing up?
Online?
Online. Sign up online on the church website. Excellent. And then youth. We do this amazing mission trip every summer we've done it for a long time now. And it is a really great formative experience for kids. If kids need to raise some money, I really truly am a big believer in letting kids raise their own money for these mission trips, because then it like is something they earned and they did rather than just writing a check for them. We do have a couple of fundraisers coming up already. We're heading into the mulch sale. Wednesday night, we're gonna be bagging mulch. We have to do 120 bags delivered on Saturday. And so far, we have zero. So we're starting Wednesday night. We're going to be bagging and delivering all day Saturday. It's going to be an amazing thing. So kids, if you want to make some money on that, please show up. I could use your help. 6 o'clock on Wednesday night. And then the other thing is that we're having the daddy-daughter dance coming up, and there's going to be some prep work on April 24th and the dance itself on April 27th. If you have any other questions about that, talk to Angie Hummel, and she will fill you in on all the details. Got it? Excellent. Wonderful. It's fun because I'm seeing adults out here that went on mission trips with me, which is pretty cool. I love that. Anyway, God's blessings on your week, folks. What a great God that we have. Let's just live this day out in praise and thanksgiving to Him. Amen.